welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this Wednesday, January 6, 2016 edition of the Hagman & Hagman Report. Our guest tonight, we are joined by Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com and Pastor David Langford, the voice of evangelism.com. And it's been a fantastic show, very information-filled with sound doctrine that many of us tend to, not that we ignore sound doctrine, but we tend to go toward our human nature more so than the nature of God, as it is natural to us and comfortable. And we have to understand the perils that can cause, and the need for discernment and understanding, which can only be given by the Lord. I would like to make an announcement that when we open the show, many of you guys know that Renee had an episode this morning that was a potential heart attack, or was thought to be at first. She was taken to the hospital, tests were run, and the diagnosis is not in, except for we know it was not a heart attack. I want to thank everybody out there for their prayers, their emails, their letters of support and concern. And there are so many. It's very humbling. But there, and my dad's not here tonight as he is with her, so they're not here to say thank you. But they asked me, and Renee asked me specifically, to thank each and every one of you, because without your prayers, without your concern, I don't know where we'd be. And we are a family. We have our differences, our troubles, like any family. But we need to stick together, because this is what is important. And when everything's all said and done, all that will be left is each other. And it is so important that we have this fellowship and we remain strong and caring for each other, because the world is a rough and cold place. And it is so warm and nice to know that there are still people out there who care. And your prayers have gone so... I mean, we would not be on the air without the prayers of the people out there. And I can't thank you enough. So, again, Renee's okay. She's home in a little bit of pain. Some more tests have to be run to figure out what's going on. But she did not have a heart attack. Thank the Lord. With that, I'll turn it over to you, Steve.
Well, thank you. You know, Jesus loves us, this we know, because the Bible tells us so. But people forget that, as David Langford said, God hates the flesh. He absolutely died to make us born again by the Spirit. And when the Lord's, again, I'm going to say this, it's such a critical issue. Jesus said, deny yourself, take up his cross, not deny yourself, or actually it should be indulge yourself and take up your cause. Everybody wants to side with one against another. I'm sick of it. I'll tell you this. Again, I'm going to say this before I read these six things. No, I'll go there first. Thank you, Jesus. Proverbs 6, 16 through 20. These six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked imaginations. Feet that swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the laws of thy mother. I want to make it clear that probably one of the strongest words in the Old Testament or the New, the abomination, or in our case, the abomination that maketh desolate, is a very strong indictment. And Pastor, tonight, you know, I was praying, and thank you, Dave. I actually had to ask David to pray with me, too, and to pray for me, as well as Romy. And, I mean, that's how upset I was, okay? And also Susan York and her entire congregation. Bless all you guys. Because we're talking about life and death. Joe, tonight, David Langford, tonight, the Lord said, Steve, this is the turning point for many. They either go into eternity with me, or they either forsake me and go to hell. Now, that's not saying that David Langford is right, Steve Quayle's right, all these other people are wrong, but that's how serious this is in God's eyes. These six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord amongst the brethren. My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that ye are mine. That you destroy one another. That you lie. That you steal. That you kill, that you bruise, that you murder, and you're doing all that with your tongue. No. No, he did not say that. He said, by this shall men know that you're mine. Again, we are at that point that when God says, you either shape up, and look, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is at hand. As we're on the air tonight, David, just so you know, and this is critical, okay? We've been warning people, and I've been warning people, and you've been with me for 25 years off and on the show, you know, all the things we've done together, but even tonight, Chinese stock markets crashing, you know, the world is coming apart at the seams. One lady pointed out that the entity in the White House was crying out of the side of his eyes where there are no tear ducts, not a shed tear for the people who are murdered in San Bernardino, not a shed tear for the people murdered in Paris, not a shed tear. And you know what's interesting about that? Your tears, ladies and gentlemen, are held up, especially the crying out to God. It's a holy thing before him. But the tears of agony, the tears, there's weeping in hell. Seriously, there's gnashing of teeth in hell. And some of the people that I have had to deal with this week, and for the record, I've repented because some of them needed a spanking, and they really needed it. And, you know, I wasn't able to provide the paddle, but maybe the Lord will. But I have never, and I think, Pastor Langford, this is what you're saying. You've been in ministry for decades, okay? I've been in ministry for decades, not as an official pastor, but, you know, hey, since I got saved, I wanted people to know how amazing Jesus is. I wanted people to understand that if my sins can be as scarlet, and he'll make me as white as snow, how dare I dig up anybody's past, okay? Now, obviously, people are nasty, but when they uncover another man's sins, their sins get uncovered. When they show no mercy, and when they come across as self-righteous and superficial, the point is that God will expose that. Very soon, Ananias and Sapphira and the same spirit that caused them to be smitten by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is going to come into the church. All I could think of, Pastor Langford, and I'm turning it right back over to you, was I see pictures of the earth opening up, just as it did in Exodus, and those who withstand, you know, they slaughter the lambs, they slaughter us with their tongues, they mock the things of God. I pray on the radio, pour my heart out to Jesus, worship him, and some, you know, child of hell says, when Steve Quayle prays, you know, that's probably one of the most damaging things I've ever taken in my spirit. You know what the Lord spoke to me? He said, Steve, this is not personal now with you. This is personal with me. And he gave me the scripture of Michael mocking David as he danced before the Lord. I've seen that happen in my life, David, literally to the point of God saying, I do a lot, I tolerate a lot, but when people mock my worship, and we're created to worship him, that's when God steps in. And I think it was Romy that gave me a word. She said, basically, Steve, he stepped over the line. God will deal with him. The last time Romy told me that, a very evil man that could have killed my daughter Stephanie, and thank God he didn't, ended up blowing up on the runway. She didn't curse him. She knew that God had stepped in to say enough is enough. Go ahead, Pastor Langford.
Steve, what you said is so pertinent. He that soweth discord among the brethren. We must understand, and I hate to be this blatant about it, but they're false brethren. Now, you say, that's why you want to be so blatant? Well, it's the Word of God. Galatians 2:4, and because of false brethren, unawares, brought in, who came in privately to spare out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these, who seem to be somewhat, they seem to be of somewhat significance. Whatsoever they were, Paul said, it maketh no matter to me, God accepteth no man's person, for they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. All of this that's taking place, I can honestly say, added nothing to me, but rather it took from me. So if it's not being added to, but it's being taken away from, where does that come from? The devil. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Ask yourself the question, is this what's taking place? Yes. Is the one gentleman espousing false doctrine? Absolutely. It's so unscriptural, it's unbelievable. But I don't know the man, so I have no reason to go hunt him down and beat up on him, because I get emails and video clips and audio clips practically every week. And if I call the names, you'd know every one of them. Some of the names, if I call, you would know who they are that sent them to me, and you would know the names of the people they're wanting me to correct. I get it all the time. I mean, every week. You need to correct Doug and Joe. You need to correct Steve Quayle. You need to correct Rick Wild. It's endless. I'm not a private investigator. I'm a preacher. If God affords me that opportunity, puts that person in my path, I'll deal with it. But God didn't put that person in my path. As I said, I would have went to Dallas in the dark, and that's how I wish I could have went. Because I do not like my mind to be affected by outside voices. See, 1 Corinthians 14:10, Paul said, there are, and it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. In other words, every voice you hear is going to play some significance in your life, folks. Sometimes I wish I didn't commit so much scripture to memory, because it's always pricking my conscience, pricking my conscience, pricking my conscience, reminding me, that's wrong. Why? Well, because thus saith the Lord. That's wrong. Why? Thus saith the Lord. It's just on and on and on and on. And we have people in the church who need to go back and read Matthew 5, 6, and 7 and start living the fundamentals of the Beatitudes and be like Christ. You got a telephone pole in your own eye, and you're trying to get the toothpick out of somebody else's eye. That's why you're blind in one of your eyes. That's why you can't see clearly. Now, this is something in the last 6 weeks God has indelibly putting in my spirit. Everyone is either going to become a goat or a sheep. God is tired of people trying to play both sides from the middle. You can't work both sides of the street. You will get run over. Matthew 25 and 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all his holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall he gather all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. He's going to separate the sheep from the goats. A lot of people don't understand that this is a sifting time. God allows the devil to do the sifting. Let me say that again. God allows the devil to do the sifting. Luke 22:31, Simon Peter, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat. You see, we don't understand God like we think we understand God. I don't understand God. I have a little understanding, but there is so much more to understand. My understanding comes from my understanding the Word. And so, God allows the devil to sift us. And if you're sifted, sometimes it can be very, very bad. I want to be purged of anything in my life. And here's where we're at right now. He said, let the wheat and let the tares grow together. The disciples wanted to go and deal with this. Let's look at Matthew 13:24. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. That's Jesus. He sows good seed. But while men slept, his enemy, Satan, came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. You see, the devil does his damage, and then he goes away, and we have to reap now the damage that the devil has done. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. This is the danger. People take it upon themselves to be judge and jury, and sadly, people get hurt. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my garner. Now let me say this. There were people that were coming to Dallas. Some are not coming. One lady wrote me a letter and said, I've bought 6 tickets for my family. We need deliverance. My heart is broken. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. We need God's touch. Now, anybody that would have come to Dallas, repented, gotten saved, gave their heart to God, got delivered from alcohol, pornography, drugs, whatever, marriage restored, reconciled, and now they don't come because of this matter, who's responsible? I'm telling you, somebody is going to be responsible for this damage. Somebody is going to pay for all of this damage. And I know one man that's not going to pay anything, and that's David Lankford. Because David Lankford is not going to get into the fray and get in the mud and sully my own life and ministry. I'm not going to do it. And you can call me proud and say I'm a compromiser and I don't practice what I preach and I don't stand for truth and da-da-da. Say all you want to say about me. I really don't care about what you say about me. But I'll tell you one thing. At the end of the day, I will not stand before God Almighty with anybody's blood on my hand because I disseminated information. When the Bible was written, the New Testament was written, the church was a group of people that went from house to house. There was no telephone, there was no internet, there was no radios, there was no satellite. But today we have all of this technology and information can be disseminated in a minute all over the world. It can be shot around the world. clamor, discord, evil speaking, malice, contention, strife, envying, backbiting. Well, that couldn't happen back then. And so with the blessing of technology, it has compounded exponentially the discord. It's exploded.
And Pastor,
I'm sorry,
I apologize to interrupt you in mid-thought, but you mentioned the conference, and Mike, the organizer, is concerned that, you know, people are thinking that, you know, all is lost. My father and I, we made a commitment, and no matter what problems arise, whether a problem like this or any other problem, it's not about any of us. It is about bringing people together and fellowship of the Lord, and we intend to honor our commitment, not to people, but to the Lord first, and that the Lord blesses people through our message, through anybody's message who's speaking there. And I just wanted to make that clear that we will be there, not for any person, or only because this is something that the Lord is leading us to do.
I'm going to be there. I'm going to be preaching Sunday morning. I'll be serving communion. I'll be water baptizing. Hey, you think I'm going to let the devil stop me over discord? No. Now, you see, that's why we have to continue on. As Paul said, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. I don't know what shall yet befall, but I'm going because I too made a commitment, and I'm a man of my integrity, and there's some people I want to see that I don't get to see very often who live in Texas, who want to see me, who want to hug my neck and shake my hand, and I want to see them and hug their neck and shake their hand and sit down and break bread with them, because it's not about me. It's about his church and his body. And that's why I do not get involved in this stuff. And that's why I am profusely offended that I get drug in the mud and talked about, and I hate it more for you and your dad than anybody else. I expect, because I still am a Bible student, I expect to be jumped on about the Word of God. Because, see, I get the emails, too, you know, about, and they shoot me scripture trying to prove their point. Well, we all can do that, but you got to take the Word of God and rightly divide it. See, Galatians 6:1, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you at your spiritual restore such as one of the spirit of meekness, considering thyself. Not everybody's qualified to restore because they're not spiritual. Only spiritual people can restore. Only spiritual people can reprove and rebuke and correct. And you do it in meekness when there's an issue like this. But when you become judge and jury and executioner, you know, had I been in the situation that this person found themselves in, I have enough sense to get up from the dinner table and say, may I be excused, and just walk away and leave it alone and say, now, God, if you got something for me to say to that person, something for me to do, you show me. But I'm not going to go and slander and so innuendo and clamor against people. You know, if I fell out with anybody, and I have fallen out with people, and I will go to them in love and say, listen, I love you, but I'm done with you, because you're damaging me. You're damaging me personally. And because of that, I can no longer be a part of that or let you be a part of my life. That's why the Bible says, and we heard that verse used, know them that labor among you. Sometimes we don't always know those that are among us until they come out with something silly, and we didn't even know that was in them. But out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So now you know it. But as I said, I was just totally in the dark because I didn't know what was going on. I hadn't heard all the New Age rhetoric and jargon. I don't even know what Planet X is. If you want me to explain that tonight, I have no idea what it is. I stay in the Bible 99% of the time. So a lot of things I don't know, don't care to know, because it's not relevant to my walk with God. I want to be knowing what's relevant to God and his will for my life. And so I preach, I pray two ways about me preaching. There are two things I pray about preaching. Let me preach with the greatest conviction that I can preach with. But let me also preach with the greatest compassion that I can preach with. As Paul said, weeping, serving the Lord with humility of mind, with many tears and temptations. I wonder how much tears have been shed over this issue by those who created it. Any tears? Any brokenness? Any sorrow? Or just email after email, condescending, demeaning, belittling. And yeah, I didn't even know, Steve, that if you typed in capital letters, you were screaming. That shows you how stupid I am with today's technology, this new age generation. Somebody said, quit typing to me in capital letters, you're screaming at me. What an idiot. You can't hear a word. You can read what I'm saying, but you can't hear a word, so why do you want to accuse me of screaming? See, that's slander. That in itself is slander. I just type in big letters so I can read. And when you type to me, I'm sorry?
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, when you type to me in big letters so I can read it without having to wear glasses. But I would never accuse you of screaming at me. Because when you scream at somebody, it's with your voice. It's with your voice, not with a keypad or whatever keyboard. But this is the childish. This is the immaturity. Quit screaming. What a baby. Go ahead and get your little bottle, because that's what you're on. You're on the milk. You're not on the meat. If you got the meat, you'd choke to death. And this is the nonsense in the body of Christ. I mean, I learn something new every day because of secularism. This is not God. This is not Christ. You know, there are those who accuse Paul. Now, watch this, Steve. He said, look how large a letter I have written you. And there are those who said he wrote in big letters because his eyes were dim. So was Paul screaming? You see, this stuff is so childish, the frivolity. Because he said, I've written to you such a large letter, and they're saying he wrote... Was Paul screaming? This is so childish. This is what 6 and 7 year olds do when, give me my bat back. I'm taking my ball glove and my ball, and I'm going home. Well, bye. But there'll be somebody that want to come along and play ball with me next week. We got to stop this nonsense. And before I give it back to Steve, get off of Joe and Doug's back. Get off their back. You take it upon yourself to do 3 hours of radio shows 5 days a week and see how much effort, see how much time it takes to do this. I do 2 1-hours a week, and I stay covered up, trying to write my newsletters, trying to prepare messages and sermons and studying, and still at 61 years of age, I try to memorize another Bible verse here and there along the way. This isn't what you think it is, folks. And I want to say this again. Anybody can find fault. You don't have to do anything to find fault. Just look at your house. You know, if you go around your home, husbands, and you're telling your wife 24/7 how filthy, nasty looking the house is, you're going to have marital strife and problems. Anybody can find fault. But when I see this stuff, it hurts me because, hey, somebody needs to talk to that brother. Somebody needs to help that brother first before you excommunicate him. You need to go to him. The Bible said if a man's overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore him. Did you try to restore him first, or did you just amputate him? What did you do? Did you follow the scripture protocol? See, there's so much blame to go around, it's just unbelievable. I mean, I could just sit here tonight, go through the book of James, and blast every one of us. Every one of us. The book of James would just annihilate every one of us. But we're not here to tear down. We're here to build up. I'm here to preach against sin. I'm here to preach against the wrong. I'm here to preach against the evil. But I'm also here to tell you the remedy. Why do you think I preach repentance so much? Because repentance is the bridge. We all live on one side of the chasm, and God is on the other side of the chasm, the abyss. And there needs to be a bridge to get us from one side to the other. The bridge is repentance. God wants to forgive every man, every woman of their sins. But the only way to get forgiven is you have to repent, and that's the bridge to get you across the abyss to Christ. But getting on your knees and saying, God, I'm sorry, God, I'm wrong. See, that's when I get down to pray, boy, I want my heart to be right with God. And I'll tell you this. This is why I know people aren't praying. I know they're not praying by what they're saying. You see, your words condemn you. You're not talking to God. You're doing this out of your carnality. You're doing this out of your flesh. You're doing this out of your mind. And this is why it's such a grave thing. And God forbid you say, you know, God told me this and God told me that. And God didn't tell you anything. That's what you want people to believe. But I'm very careful to put my junk on God's back and say, God told me this and God told me that. That's why I try to stay in the Word of God so much. I know the Word's not wrong. I can be wrong, but His Word is not wrong. And so when Paul said to season your speech with grace and let it be salted, then that's what we need to do. And so a wise man sometimes just says, you know what? I'm going to be quiet and not do anything because I want to hear the whole matter, and then I'll make my mind up as to what's wrong. I see wrong on both parties. That's where I stand tonight. I see wrong on both parties. I can't pat either guy on the back and say either one of you are right. All I can say is both of you are wrong. Both of you are wrong. That's just the bottom line. Now, you want to go to God, but here's the problem. When you start all this mess, remember, you're responsible for it. If you start a fight, you're responsible for starting it. I've been married 35 years. There are times my wife says something, and 20 years ago I would have said something back. But old boy here's gotten smart, and I say, yes, ma'am. And there's no
powerful words in marriage, yes, ma'am.
I mean, you know, that just a soft word turneth away wrath. And so, but 20 years ago, old David, this is my nature. Listen, I'm a fighter in nature. I was in a bar one night, and a guy stepped on my foot, and I looked at him. I said, hey, pal, when you step on my foot, you say excuse me. He said, I don't say excuse me to nobody. Well, he was in the floor about 2 seconds later, because when I was in the world, you step on my foot physically, you're going to apologize to me. That's how crazy I was. But God took that craziness and channeled it into compassion and love and give everybody a chance. Steve, you've heard me say this. Everybody starts off with me at a number 10. I let you cut away at it. And when you get down to about a 5 or a 6, I don't need you no more in my life. You're mundane. But I give you the utmost respect. I give you the utmost confidence. I don't want to know about your past because it don't matter to me, because I don't want you to know about my past because it's rotten too. So don't talk about my past. Talk about what I'm doing for the Lord. And if I'm wrong, come to me in privacy and say, hey, David, you need a checkup. I pray. I say, God, if there's something in my life, send somebody to me. You got people you can speak to. If there's something wrong in my heart and I'm concealing evil and I'm being deceived, send somebody to me and say, David, the Lord told me to tell you, you got something wrong in your life. You need to straighten up. I want to be warned. I want to be reproved. I want to be rebuked. I want to be told if I'm wrong. But don't come at me with a hammer. Come to me in love. See, that's how you win a brother. You know, see, we quit. I pray every day, God, give me souls. He that winneth souls is wise. What about the souls? We're spending all this time about discord. Satan is sitting around and he's laughing, he's mocking, because this has been a distraction created by someone, and now the devil is laughing and said, ha, 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 I got all of you caught up in this big distraction. Look at you now. You're wasting God's money, you're wasting God's time, you're wasting God's energy. None of you are praying, you're shooting emails, you're taking sides, you're doing, and God ain't in any of it. Not in any of it. And yet they'll say, oh, God told me that this is what I needed to do. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I would to God this much effort that's been spent in this mess will be spent in prayer and repentance and restoration and reconciliation, because that's the business God's in. He's a God of restoration. David said, he restoreth my soul. Listen, folks, if we believe we're in the time we advocate and appropriate that we're in, martial law, gun confiscation, financial collapse, World War III, what in God's name are we doing this stuff for? Hello? If you people believe this is how bad we're in as a nation, as a world, and this is what we're fighting over, hey, so I got rebuked the other day because I sent out an email. When Franklin Graham comes to your state, meet with him at the state capitol and just pray with him on the steps. I can agree with a man in prayer. He's a Baptist, I'm a Pentecostal. If he wants to talk to Jesus Christ and pray for this nation, I'll stand with him. Now, I may disagree with him on the Holy Ghost, but if he wants to pray, I'll pray with him. I got people criticizing me for that. Over prayer. Now, this is how crazy it is. So it just shows you how carnally minded people are. They're not walking in the Holy Ghost.
And if I can just say this.
Yeah, I'm done.
As crazy as all this is, and you're right on the money, this is just the beginning. We have no idea how much worse it will get, especially if we continue in this current path.
Biting and devouring one another, Paul said. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, I want to, you know, I posted over the years since, and I want to make this clear, I've never declared myself a prophet. I am not a prophet. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The Bible says you may all prophesy. That's not the same thing as the office of a prophet. I want to read a prophecy given to me April 13th, 1997. And this is pretty amazing because I remember when these things are going out, I got a call from, or got a call, I got an email, David, from the most self-righteous, egotistical guy going, if you want to hear a real man of God, give me a call and I'll tell you what it's all about. And my attitude to that is, well, I'm just a sinner, brother. You're a real man of God. You don't need to talk to me because you obviously, and then I got a rabbi that took me to task and, you know, basically same thing. Oh, I thank God I'm not like you. Guess what I said? Oh, me too. You know, prophecy. Yeah, you know, and boy, did the Holy Ghost set a checker to my fingers, okay? The ones that would have typed. Thus saith the Lord God of heaven, very soon everything you have been accustomed to will change. Nothing will be as it was. The very foundations of your nation have been destroyed. Leaders from other lands conspire. They divide up the spoil. They are set to move against you, and by the surrender of the ungodly and profane leaders of your land, they have been given the green light to proceed. My people, do you not see the obvious? Now think about when this was given, 18 years ago. Foreign armies are within your borders. They have an alliance formed against you. They arm with cunning treachery the rebellious. Those who hate me love death. They embrace death. They have made wickedness their mistress. My people, do not allow the evil one to paralyze you with fear, indifference, or apathy. Arise, seek me with all your hearts. Now, how about this, David? 18 years ago, quit gossiping. Why does each one run to his neighbor saying, what do you think? Trying to find counsel at the hand of man? Come into my presence in total surrender and dependence. Seek me with all your heart and mind. Surrender your thoughts and entire being to me. Then will you be equipped and empowered by my Holy Spirit's anointing and be able to deal with the great peril that now comes even upon you. By the way, this is the prophecy, April 1997, on the prophetic words on my website. Here you go, Pastor Langford. You feast while you should be fasting. You ignore the signs of the times that have made you aware through my word that should be prompting you to prepare. You assume when instead you should be crying out to me for my revelation, direction, deliverance. What answer will you give to those who are dead in their trespasses and sin as the weather becomes more erratic, when the harvests are cut off, when the waters turn to blood, which has happened a lot, and are spoiled, when your cities are inflamed and destroyed from within and without? Have you not seen? Do you not hear of the thousands who are even now sick and dying of diseases that, according to man, were no longer a problem? My children, the Russians and Chinese, have already come to your land. They have made an agreement to divide the land amongst themselves and send you into captivity. What was the word, Pastor Langford, that God gave you? The two words.
Amen. Been in bondage, you know, going into captivity.
Yep. Been in bondage, going into captivity. Woe unto you, America, for you have shaken your fists at heaven, declaring me, the Lord God of heaven, to be of no consequence. Woe unto you, America, for great is your pride and wickedness, but yet will I bring you down. For those who would say, but God would never judge America, look at all the good she's done. Do you know the word of the living God? If the wicked turn from their wickedness, I will remember their transgressions no more. But if the righteous turn from their righteous way, they shall not be remembered as a righteous person or land. How's this? This is a God word. I deal with what is, not once what once was. I'll say that again. I deal with what is and not what once was. Where will you stand, my people? When will you arise and go forth in the fullness and power of my anointing? Prepare, 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 for battle even now rages. There's no safety for you by hiding the shadows of denial. You are the children of the living God, armed with the precious and powerful blood of Jesus. It's one thing to sing about the devil being under your feet. It's quite another to tread on serpents and scorpions and truly crush the power of the evil one through your faith in my blood. Go forth, go forth. I want to make the most powerful system or statement I can make. God, there are a lot of people out on the internet who will sing, well, God said this, God said that. They'll allow God to speak through them to others, but they will not allow the very words that they have in dreams or visions to speak to them. And again, this has nothing to do with forgiving. You know, I understand that I'm forgiven to the extent I'm forgiven, or that I forgive others. I also understand that I don't compare myself to David Langford. I wish I had the scriptural knowledge you do, David, and I wish I weren't as, how do I say this, as dealing with all my issues that you've already dealt with. But it's wrong to compare myself to any man. It's wrong for anybody to say, gee, I wish I was you. My answer to anybody who ever said that to me is, no, you don't. You know, no, you don't. I'll pray for you. No, you don't. So what do we compare ourselves with? I like what Paul Hagstrom said. When he was the most troubled in his life, he said, God, what's a perfect man? What do you expect? And God answered him in a time of prayer, fasting, brokenness, and turmoil. Jesus is the perfect man, and I expect you to be conformed to his image. I got a long way to go. Going back to the words that were given to me, unfortunately, I've lost some of them, but one of the things that I would say is this. When people call me and say, ah, they all sound alike, they would really complain and moan about Jeremiah. I'm no Jeremiah, I'm no Ezekiel, I'm nobody but just a guy basically saying, Jesus save my sinful, wicked soul, and I love him, and he's been a better friend. Yes, he's my Lord. Yes, he's my Savior. He's a King of glory, and I worship at his feet and give praise to God the Father. But he calls me his friend, and can I tell you something? That's the thing that blows my mind about the goodness of God, and it's God's goodness that has led me to repentance. Please, ladies and gentlemen, those of you who think you're beyond the grace of God, you're not. Come home to Jesus tonight. Those of you who think you've done the unpardonable sin, if you're worried about it, you haven't. I know what it's like to be convicted of blasphemy, and even after being a new Christian, the devil is going about seeking whom he may devour. Let me tell you something. There are some dreams and visions floating around there, and the gentleman that had them and his wife, they're reading into their dreams and visions what they want. They don't see what God is trying to say to them. I no sooner said that, David, than I got a call from Sheila, and she talked to a man of God, Sheila Zielinski. And she didn't know what you and I knew, or did she know, you know, an interpretation to a dream and vision that God gave you. And this other party said, I see what's going on. This is why I can never minister with this individual. So there's four now. And see, this is the bad thing. When the bridges go down, when you burn the bridges, you can't complain that the destination that God had intended for you is no longer open to you. And so what I want to admonish everybody is this. We're to forgive. But even in Scripture, how can two walk together except they be agreed? I want to leave this, and then, Joe, I'll turn it over to you, and I'm done. In any fight, I want to know where Jesus is. In any person proclaiming to know Jesus, I want to know how they came to know him. I won't accept why I got saved as a kid. Really? You don't know the tattered, broken lives and lies that have been told to me by people who make that claim. I would gladly embrace the sinner. Now, I'm going to say one more thing. Joe, you made a statement, you made a commitment. David, I know you so well that, and I say this to the praise of God's glory, you mean what you say and say what you mean. There's much more, what's the word I want, acts going to be laid to the root before Dallas takes place. That's not, and Mike, relax, that's not a curse, it's a realization. I said that to you in the emails that I've emailed you back and forth. I also intend, because I don't know Ted, I never talked to him, I think we've emailed a couple times, I intend to talk to him. In no way do I encourage any Christian minister or radio personality to use New Age terms. The people of God don't have the context to understand, and everybody seeks his own. That's what you said tonight, David. And what I see in this is everybody standing their ground, and very few of the parties that initiated this getting on their faces before the Lord. I will not have anything to do, and I'm going to say this, with any conferences that I'm told, well, we really want to have you. The reason Whitestone was a success is because we sought God and everybody walked together in agreement. And those of you who were there that saw the 100 plus people get water baptized, that was a God thing. David Langford's never seen that in his life happen, nor have I. And that's because God was in it. I can tell you this, whether it applies to this or not, my advice to everyone is to chill, give it to God, release it, but don't expect damaged lives to ever come back and make you the same platform you once had. So don't send me emails saying, I need to forgive this guy or I need to forgive that guy. I've already done that, but I don't need to submit myself to any duplicity or the very things that they haven't dealt with over the years. Good night, ladies and gentlemen. Please spare me your diatribes. I hope by the grace of God people have been informed tonight. David, thank you so much for the word of God I got ministered to tonight. I had church. Those of you who have heard my plea, stand with Joe and Doug. And if it's your church and you've been blessed and they're doing the best they can, then and with what is God given to them, they're the most generous guys on talk radio. And I stand with David's statement. You know, you have no right to contact me or him if you've never supported them. And how dare you take up all these offenses to profane the name of Jesus. The last scripture I'll give is the Bible says this, my name is blasphemed, God speaking, through you amongst the Gentiles. Is that not the scripture, Pastor?
Amen. Sad, but it's true.
Yep, it's sad, but it's true. Well, ladies and gentlemen, God bless you. Again, keep your eyes on Jesus. Every one of us is going to stumble. If you keep your eyes on a man, he stumbles, you stumble. You keep your eyes on Jesus, he may stumble, but you don't have to hit the same rock that causes you to stumble. Good night, Joe. Thank you, and Doug, I love you, man. Renee, blessings to you in the name of Jesus. And may all of you who have been guilty of Facebook gossip get down on your faces. And somebody says, how dare you say that? I dare to say that. David, good night. Good night, Doug.
Steve, thank you. You have a great evening.
Joe, thank you for allowing us to just share the Word of God tonight. And let me encourage people. I've always, January's our time, my wife and I, have prayer and fasting. I encourage you to join with us. Fasting will humble you and will rid you of your pride and get you where you need to be with God and allow your spiritual man to excel. So, Joe, I'm going to leave it with you. We love you guys. We're praying for Renee and your dad, and I just ask people to do the same thing. And again, people, don't get on these two men because they don't claim to be preachers or pastors. They're Christian businessmen. They don't know what I know. I don't know what they know in their profession before God gave them this platform. So they that compare themselves, or they that measure themselves among themselves, are not wise. 2 Corinthians 10:12. None of us are an instrument to measure anybody or anything by. The Word of God is what we measure our lives by, and we measure it with a balanced way in the Scriptures. You take all the Bible. Paul said, rightly divide the Scriptures. So if you use this verse to say this, the other verse over there may counter that because it's out of the wrong context. So be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself in the Word of God. If you have erred, admit it. Jesus told the Pharisees, you do err, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. So, Joe, thank you, and we're praying for you and your wife as well. I'll call you tomorrow afternoon. And people, if you'll just spend the amount of time in prayer that you're spending in this other stuff, everything will always look different when you get up from your knees. I promise you, when you get up from your knees, everything will look entirely different because God sees everything from a different point of view. He sees the end from the beginning. God bless you. We love you guys. Thank you for your prayers and your support. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Doug. God bless you, Renee. I know my wife called Renee earlier tonight and prayed with her. This is what it's going to take, folks. Pray one for another. Pray one for another, and that'll really help the matter. Thank you, Joe. God bless and have a great evening.
Thank you, Pastor. God bless you, and we love you and your wife and all the wonderful lessons and teachings that you've been able to share with us. You have a great night.
Okay. Good night. Bye-bye.
That was Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com and Pastor David Langford. Sitting in this chair, I usually sit on the other side. I keep wanting to turn this way. So I feel like I'm out of my comfort zone sitting in this chair, which this was originally my side, my chair. So it's kind of weird and stupid at the same time, but I don't know. I thought that was funny. That's a fantastic show tonight. And, again, Pastor David Langford, always very on point with his scriptural messages, and we need to take his advice, especially what he said at the end. We need to take the time to pray. And I'll be the first to admit, I am lacking probably more than anybody in this area. I pray, and I'll talk to God, but I don't have a regimen. I don't have, it's not discipline. It could be days without a saying a prayer, or maybe one day I say four or five. The point of this is the Lord tells us to pray. The Lord tells us to be diligent and not do anything halfway. As we so often say, and it's a quote from the Bible, the indifference is what the Lord hates. He would rather you be hot or cold. He would rather you love him or hate him with all your heart than to ignore him or not care. And through our own human nature, and especially now as the world continues to get more complicated, time seems to be becoming shorter, less time to do things in the day, whatever it is, there's no excuse. I know there's none for me. I need to buckle down, and I'm sure many of us do. And it's not with just prayer, but our whole spiritual walk with the Lord. I mean, just like anything else in life, you get out of it what you put into it. And if we're expecting miracles and understanding and discernment from the Lord, yet we, and especially me, are not doing what we're told to do, are not keeping that relationship, then how can we even expect for the things we pray for? It doesn't make sense, and it's a disservice to the Lord. But at the same time, we can't discourage people because everybody is at a different stage of their faith. And sometimes one prayer is enough because it's better than none. So, I didn't say that to bring that to anybody's attention but my own. And hopefully some people out there will benefit from it. But again, thank each and every one of you for your prayers, your concern for Renee and my father. We will be back tomorrow. Paul McGuire will be the guest. And until then, stay safe. God bless. Any important updates will be on the website. Otherwise, we will be back at 7.